Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Mo Sizlak, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Michael, Donnie, Peter, why don't you boys stop by the bar after the show for a couple of Duffs and some Flaming Moes? First round is on me, and by on me, I mean you're paying for it.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this February 23rd.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a Thursday. It's starting to get a little colder. Why not? It is February 2023. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, what's up? Boy, this is a big show. Another unveiling of another big spot on the show, Dead or Alive, that will premiere at 3:45, where we will give Don a myriad of celebrities that are old and or dead, and he has to tell us whether they're dead or alive. I'm excited about it. There's a lot of talk in the industry about it. It's going to be gigantic.
You know who's not excited about it?
Who?
The people being considered to be used.
I mean,
a lot. You know, because they're either, today's are either completely decrep or no longer with us.
Yeah. I can't even wait. And then if you want to look past that, we've got a Daily Don at 4:45.
Oh, God.
Yesterday we had a phenomenal premiere. People are still talking about it. The reviews were off the charts great of the Would You Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my question about the Dead or Alive, Peter.
Yeah. These people are either dead or alive, Don.
I understand that, but I'm just wondering, did Peter know when he looked the name up? Or did he know, like, did he already know their status? Or was he even, like, surprised?
Oh, no, I'm... In the case of each, I've had to look it up.
Okay.
That's what makes this intriguing. They're not ones that like everybody knows off the top of their head.
All right, so you thought of a name and then you had to double check.
Correct.
Or just actually look up.
Correct.
See, that's interesting.
Now, this is the genesis of this is Don many years ago killed off Sidney Poitier.
Oh yeah. Of course.
And he's done this before. He doesn't know if somebody's dead or alive.
And Peter's done it before. We've all done it.
I don't think I've done it. Anyway,
no, we've all asked the question, is he still with us? And we had to go check.
Yeah, but you killed off somebody that was alive at the time. Sidney is no longer
with us.
That's
right. I confuse birthday with death. It could happen to anybody.
I could see how that happened, sure.
Sure, it did happen. And now it's created a segment, and it's given us a lot of joy during Drop Madness. It's the gift that keeps giving.
It is. Apparently now it's a segment. It's a sponsored segment, too.
And
Don.
Apparently there's another delivery today.
It's amazing. Now, I've started doing something the last couple of days, and it seems to me on social media that it's really, really starting to annoy a certain segment of people. So now you could rest assured that I will continue to make a video each day to remind you what's coming up on the show. Because if you tell me I annoy you, I'm going to keep doing it. Because that's how I'm built. And also, I got a lot of hate today about, you look tired, why don't you have a cup of coffee? Never had coffee in my life, but why don't you do that? I think I look terrific. I just have droopy eyes. What can I say?
Well, I'm disappointed people are saying these things to you. I want better for you.
That's
I don't
okay.
think you deserve it.
That's okay. And you know, the promo one. You know, homeless person or probably lives in his mother's basement said, now, you mean to watch a guy look at his phone for 5 hours? I'll pass. Well, you witless clown.
The show
is 4 hours. Today it's 3.5 because of
Thank
the Rangers.
You. Exactly.
And I don't care if I can bake cookies in the nude. It's a radio show, you brainless idiot.
I've never agreed with you more. This is a hill I'll gladly die on with you.
Yeah,
and hopefully Don will know. Yeah, shall we?
Let's have some fun.
I don't know why you even read the matches.
Because I want to engage with people, Don.
Oh, is that what would the, is that what
that you call that?
That was
some nice engagement.
Witless person.
Yeah, that was nice.
I didn't realize that you were engaging.
Well, I mean, people that are brainless and witless should be called out for, don't you think? Should they be allowed to live in society without being called out? You know, you're really dumb. Maybe you shouldn't handle a nuclear reactor. Well, that's what I'm saying.
The advice I would give to you and others, if you are worthless and not anybody that you should pay attention to, then why are you spending so much time talking about?
And here's another thing that I love, too, that I've noticed as well.
Mm.
I'll pass. I'll listen to the other show. Meanwhile, you follow me. Then you're a loser. You follow somebody that you don't even like.
Yeah, it's also true.
Quite the
you've seen that, right, Peter? People follow you and they hate your guts. Why? Don't follow me. It's like looking in my window. You give me the creeps.
Listen, I don't know why people do these things. How can I know?
We don't know because we don't follow people we don't like.
No, I do not understand that. But also, think about the world we live in. The whole world is filled with comments on YouTube pages. Thousands and thousands. Have you ever posted a YouTube comment?
Never.
Do you know anyone who posts YouTube comments?
No. Sebastian Maniscalco has a great line. He said, who comes home from a restaurant and posts something on Yelp? Who does that? Well, if you don't like the food, you don't go back there again. Who does that? Who has the time?
Well, the people that have the time are usually people that are red hot over something being undercooked or having to wait extra long time to get served. That's why I don't want to pay attention to it. Like, how many people love it so much, I've got to run home and give them a compliment? They're probably going to go, I can't wait to go home to rip them.
But what Sebastian says, and it's true, who has the time to do this stuff?
Well, but that's
because
people...
sometimes they write long screeds about, you know, the salad was wilted. Don't go back there. You're trying to destroy a business? Don't go back. Mm. You don't like this show? You know what?
Yes.
Don't listen, you clown. Listen to something else where the intelligent level is a little bit lower.
But listen, but here's the thing. Here, they might get one of the hosts to have a semi-legitimate meltdown at the top of the show.
I love it.
You're not getting that from a restaurant. So that's why they do it, probably. Not to say I'm not down to do it every once in a while.
But why were all these people like offended by Howard Stern's show? Instead of just turning it off or not putting it on at all, they've got to do everything they can to get him off the air. Like, that's just the society we live in. It's going on for years. It's nothing new. We have to get rid of the things we don't like.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Well, we're not going anywhere. Well, for a while. Anyway, Diana Rossini had a big piece of news today, which I think we have to examine. And by the way, before we get to Diana, our brave warrior, Aaron Rodgers, was supposed to spend 4 days in the dark. It turned out to be 2.5. Now, did he get the clarity he needed just in 2.5? Or could he not take sitting in the dark for 4 days? I don't know if we'll know that. We'll have to stay tuned for the next Pat McAfee show to see exactly why he left early.
Well, to defend him, I don't know. Did he ever say, like, he
said... Yeah, he said he booked for 4 days.
Right. So you book for 4 days, and if you don't like it or if you feel like you got everything you needed out of it, they said you can leave at any time, so it's not like you're in an escape room and you can't do anything about it. So it might just be the fact, all right, listen, I got what I need, or this is not what I thought it was.
Yeah, but like if I book a 4 day stay at the Boulders in Palm Beach, and I'm relaxed after 2.5, I'm staying for the whole 4.
Yeah, but if you don't like it or there's some clarity,
maybe he freaked out, didn't like it.
Well, maybe.
Or maybe he got the clarity he needed.
This is played. We're good. 2 days is enough.
I'm leaning toward that. So here's what Diana said on Greeny. We love Greeny, and you could hear Greeny. Right here on 98.7 from 10 to noon. Here's Diana.
The last I spoke with people involved in all this was yesterday morning, and the numbers were still very off. There was a number floating out there, I think around 45 million Jones. I was told that that was higher than the number he actually was looking for. It's more in the 41, 42 Oof. Million dollar range. The New York Giants looking more in the high 30 for Daniel Jones. So unless they can figure out an agreement, this has got franchise tag written all over it.
Listen, I love Diana, okay? And I know her dad listens to the show. That doesn't make sense. So the Giants are at 30, you know, high 30s. So I'll say 38 or 39. That's high 30s to me.
Right.
And Jones is in the low 40s. So I'd say that's 41, 42. There's no middle ground there. That it's definitely going to be, It's this big stare off. They're dug in at 38, 39, 41, 42. That doesn't seem that far to me. You know what seems far to me? The franchise tag of 32.5 and what the Giants are offering. And I would think that you take what the Giants are offering rather than hold firm at 41. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, see if you follow me here on why the numbers, even though they're close, could still be a major stumbling block. What if the Joneses camp is like, we're not taking a penny less than 40? And the Giants are like, we're not going to pay a penny more than 40. All right, so maybe the line of demarcation is 40. So you figure, okay, that'll kind of where they'll end up at the end of the day. But you can understand the fight of the Giants wanting to make sure the original report was 190 over 5 years. That's $38 million. Maybe they want to hold firm to 38. And maybe Jones wants to hold firm to 41, 42. So do they just come to the meeting of the minds and say, all right, let's just agree to 40? Maybe eventually. But right now, I guess it's worth fighting for, isn't it? There is a big difference between 42 and 38. And maybe 40 just is, like I said, I would do 40 rather than lose the guy or franchise him. But it's not something I want to do. I don't have an appetite to do that. And maybe neither side wants to blink just yet.
I guess the good news I take out of this, though, according to Diana's reporting, Jones is not looking for 45, which has been reported previously, which we thought was a little bit outrageous. So he wants 41, 42. We'll see. We'll see who blinks. But I'll tell you what, the guy that should blink, and I never get in somebody's pocket when it comes to contractual stuff, you get what you could get. Would you rather have 32.5 on a one-year deal, or would you rather have 190 on a five-year deal? Because they're not letting you become a free agent, Daniel. So if you're going to hold firm at 40 or 41 and not take their 38, that to me seems dumb. Because then you're going to get 32.5. Does that make sense fiscally?
Hey, that's why I said, Michael, I think it hurts Jones more to be franchised than it hurts the Giants. It hurts both of them, but it hurts Jones more. Because now if the Giants are hurt by the franchise tag, and oh, by the way, I guess Barkley would be gone then because they couldn't use the franchise tag on Barkley if they used it on Jones. Does Jones like playing with Saquon Barkley? It's one of his weapons. It's one of the weapons that he actually has on the team now. Everybody else is just air. Who can they go out and acquire? Now it's going to be harder for them to acquire if they're pigeonholed into a franchise tag for that kind of money, because then they can't spread that 32 around. That's what it is. That's the reality of it. Actually, it'll be a $29 million contract for him, a $32 million cap hit. Right? Is that that's the way it was explained to me?
That's what I got out of the Post story the other day by Paul Schwartz.
So if that's the case, then you could get 38 a year. You're going to take $9 million less. Now, if you really believe in yourself and you're betting on yourself, but we've had this conversation earlier in the week, guys, this is not Aaron Judge betting on himself. This is you hoping the Giants strengthen this offensive line, go out and get you some weapons, and put you in a position where you can be much better than you were last year. Guys, a duplicate of last year is not getting him $45 million. It's going to get him exactly what the Giants offered him, right? So if they franchise him and he goes out there and throws 15 touchdown passes, rushes for 7, they win 10 games in a playoff game and go and lose in the divisional round, is that going to get him any more money than what he was offered now?
And also, the comparison with Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge bet on himself, and then he knew at the end of the year he was free as a bird to sign with any of the 30 teams in baseball. Daniel Jones is not free as a bird. He's caged. They have the franchise tag. He's not going anywhere. So what exactly is his leverage? He's going to take $32.5 million for 1 year or a level of guarantee of $190 million for 5. It doesn't make – you're not that free in the NFL because of the franchise tag. In baseball, you bet on yourself. You hit 62 home runs. You cash in because every single team can bid on you that wants you. That's not the case for Daniel Jones.
That's what makes this whole thing unique is ultimately you're really just thinking about how Jones will move you viewing forward, and will he make you pay through the nose if, in fact – he has a great season on the franchise tag, and when it gets to contract time, he may make you pay. But isn't that a problem you're willing to deal with?
Yes.
Because it helps the team.
And really, does anybody out there, the biggest Giant fan in the world, the biggest one, all right? Everybody else is eliminated from this thought exercise. Does anybody think that Daniel Jones is going to throw for 30 touchdowns next year? Is he going to have that sort of year?
I wouldn't bet on it, but I'd like to see it happen. Maybe if they get the right weapons that he could approach that, but there's just as much a chance that he can revert back to his interceptions and fumbling the football if he's throwing the ball more. You know, that's what you got to ask yourself, guys. I'd love to be able to get in the head of Daboll and Shane. The dumbing down of that offense, for lack of a better phrase, where it was a lot of run play option, run pass option. It was a lot of just seemed like they were trying to get the most out of Jones's abilities, right? His athleticism. Was that because they didn't have weapons, or did they feel like this is the best we can do with this guy? Like, this is all we can really do with him. So do we really know that if they go out and get a bunch of wide receivers that he is going to be throwing more? Or is it going to be kind of the same deal? We don't know. We really don't know, other than not giving him the fifth-year option, how this regime feels about Daniel Jones.
And also, by forcing them to franchise him, he's handcuffing himself to get better. Because there's way less cap space for them to actually fill holes that they need to fill. Way less. The entire contract will be on against the cap. If he signs a 195-year deal, they can amortize it out where it counts maybe 12 or 13 against the cap, not 32. He's got to realize that. He's almost shooting himself in the foot. He really is. So, well, I'm going to hold out. I want more money. And listen, you have the right to ask for anything. But if you don't take the 38 a year and they give you 32 and a half, well, you not only have gotten less money, but you have less money for the team to get you better. Well, that's the way look at it.
I'll say this, guys. You know I'm no negotiator. Peter will go as far as to say I'm really bad at it after what happened with our bet.
Awful. Mm-hmm. Awful at it.
But hear me out and see if you agree. If I'm the Giants, I'm making the 190 over 5, take it or leave it. And if you leave it, we're going to franchise you. I'm not moving a penny above it. And see what he does.
That might be what they do.
I think it's I honestly not, and this is not coming from a Giant fan. I'm trying to be neutral here, based on what I think he can become, based on what the Giants were last year. I think this is a dead-on offer. If anything, it's generous. $38 million over $190 million over 5 years. $38 million a year to me is fair. And when he starts asking for more than 40, I think he's starting to get into unfair territory. He's perfectly okay within his right to ask for it. But if I'm the Giants, that's my offer, 190 over 5. Take it or leave it. If you leave it, we're going to franchise you. Done.
And, you know, he changed his representation for a reason. So usually that's you want more money, and the other place wasn't able to. So the other place was CAA, not exactly a mom-and-pop agency, one of the big agencies in the world.
I would say the biggest.
Then he went to Athletes First now. So I don't think he left CAA because they were asking for too much money. He left CAA because they couldn't get him what he wants. He is in his feels right now to think he's worth $40 million. And I've heard people that are close to the Giants say, you know, he was really upset that they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. Really? You were really upset? Listen, I blame Joe Shane and Brian Daboll for not seeing it, because that's their job. And we didn't criticize them when they didn't pick up the fifth-year option. But right now, that looks like a really costly decision. But what right does he have to be upset that they didn't pick it up? Well, coming off the 4 years, the three previous years that he played, he didn't give them any indication they should pick it up.
The thing that makes sense to me is he was advised by his previous agent, take the Giants' offer.
And he doesn't want to.
More.
Right.
And he wants more. Now, I would hope that this agency would advise him, we've got to stay away from the cap. So the Giants lean into that and say, it's our final offer. We're not going anymore. And are they going to advise him to not take it and take the franchise tag? Would they do that? I think that'd be horrible advice, wouldn't you?
I find it really interesting, when you framed it that way, I find it really interesting that he left maybe the biggest agency in the world to go elsewhere to try to get this money.
Well, the place that he went, Peter, Athletes First, the last five contracts I believe that they negotiated, they made that player the highest paid player in football.
Who are those people?
Oh, one of them is Aaron Rodgers. So it's big people. It's not like they could get, Jordan Love and make him the highest paid player in football. I mean, you have to have. Daniel Jones is good, but I don't think he's great. He hasn't shown greatness yet.
But think about it. Again, this is not our money, and it's monopoly money to us. I can't even imagine ever negotiating a deal that's going to pay me between $38 and $42 million a year. It's incredible stuff, right? But just to think that I don't know. I can have all the confidence in the world in myself. All I need is one offensive lineman to slip, and I break my leg, and my season's over. That's why it's not comparable to Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge didn't have to worry about that. Yeah, you can get injured. You get a fastball to the temple. I mean, but still, the odds are you're going to get hurt as a quarterback more so than as a right fielder in Major League Baseball. So he can get hurt. The Giants might not be able to have the kind of season they had last year with a tougher schedule. There's so many things that can go wrong, and you're going to sit there and take that risk to where you're Baker Mayfield at the end of the contract? Now, being a backup someplace, being a free agent, making $15, $20 million a year over a lousy $4 million a season, because that's what it is. If he wants 42 and the Giants are offering 38, for that extra $4 million a year, you're willing to risk it all? And where do you think, and even if he bets on himself, guys, what stratosphere would he put himself in? 45? Can he have the kind of year where he can demand $50 million a year?
Well, I mean, it all depends on what the big quarterbacks get. Like, if Joe Burrow takes it to 55, then all of a sudden his contract probably goes up.
That's fine. But it's all about timing, right? But if he's a free agent the same time as those guys are, you know, is he going to put the stats that Burrow's going to put up?
No.
You know, so if he goes from 15 touchdowns to 20, seven rushing touchdowns to 10, the Giants win one more game. Is that going to make him go from a $38 million offer where the Giants are going to have to pay him 50? So even betting on himself, guys, what's the ceiling of betting on yourself? I just think the cons outweigh the pros here.
Right. There was no ceiling for Aaron Judge. There is a ceiling for what a quarterback makes.
And he's
not one of the top five quarterbacks in football.
And the other thing, we didn't know the Judge was going to go out there and hit 62 home runs, Michael, but we all knew that if he stayed healthy, he would have an MVP caliber season. You know why? Because he had done it before. He hit 50 home runs his rookie season. You know, Judge threw 15 touchdowns this year and had this great season, and I agree, it was better than anybody had thought he was going to have. But was his resume what Aaron Judge's resume was going into his walk year?
Yeah, I would tell Daniel Jones, 15 touchdowns, 7 rushing is not 62 home runs. So you bet on yourself, but you didn't play it the way Judge did.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll take your phone calls right now, 1-800-919-3776. We'll start with Julian in Toms River. What's up, Julian?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So regarding the Daniel Jones thing, something that I'm surprised no one has brought up is whether or not John Mara will be a part of it. Like I was saying it. So do you think he will, or do you think he'll let Joe Shane, do his thing?
I'll tell you what, Julian, it's not a bad question, and I think if he gets involved, he's making a big mistake. You know, he hired these guys because he turned it over to them, and you can't let emotion play into it because I love Daniel Jones or I love Saquon Barkley. You know, Don and I, we're kind of both in agreement that behind the scenes, Mara was really pulling strings to keep Manning's championship hopes alive for third Super Bowl. And I think owners obviously own teams and they want to play. They want to play in the sand pit, but you got to let Shane do his job. You can't force him to give in. If he said this guy's worth 38, you got to listen to him. You hired him to run the football operations of your team. But I can't see him being silent. I'm sure he'll go to Shane and go, we really want to keep this guy. But Shane has to hold the fort, Don.
No, I think the only time you saw Mr. Mara get involved was because of Eli, because that was the last pick that his father was involved in, and he won two Super Bowls. So I think he learned his lesson from what happened when he got, you know, he led with his heart with some of the decisions he made with Eli and with Gettleman. The fact that he's moved on from Gettleman, he's going to lay out. The rumored offer is fair. We're not hearing anything crazy, because wouldn't he also feel, wouldn't his heart drive him to bring Saquon back?
Yes, I'm sure.
You know, and yet we haven't heard anything other than we'll try to get something done, but no offer. So, no, I think once Shane and Daboll came in, specifically Shane at the general manager position, then John Mara was going to lay out.
Let's go to Dan in Connecticut. Danny.
Hi, guys. I was just wondering why no one's talking about if Daniel Jones is asking for so much, why wouldn't the Giants trade him for a first-round pick and sign Carr for potentially $15 million less? Doesn't that put them in a better situation? You have an additional first-round pick, competent quarterback. Who knows what the coach and GM could do with him? And if Jones is asking for so much, just let him walk.
Well, you're assuming, Dan, and I don't know where you get this assumption, that Derek Carr, you can get him for $25 million. Yeah, you know, he had $40 billion set to come to him with the Raiders. And also, you're taking on seven more years.
What do you expect
Daniel
to get
Jones for Jones? 25.
Jones is a free agent, right? So,
Carr is.
But you said trading Jones. What are you getting for Jones that you're just acquiring a headache of how much am I going to pay him? The thing that you hope for, then, Giants could franchise him, and if some team really wanted him, they'll give you two first-round picks for him. Which I think if I'm the Giants, I would probably do. I'd take that risk in franchising him to get two first-round picks. I got to build my roster anyway. It's not ideal, but at least that's a nice consolation prize if you do lose him. But what are you going to get if you trade him?
And also, is David Carr making that much better? And I don't think you're saving $15 million.
No, not $15 million, no.
I mean, I don't know what the price is going to be for Carr, but once the Rodgers thing is settled – and we'll talk more about the Lamar Jackson thing, because that seems to be unsettled in Baltimore, then the quarterbacks that are left are going to be able to command what they want. There's going to be a lot of teams without quarterbacks. A lot. Tampa Bay, Carolina, just to name a few, Tennessee, the Jets.
Right.
A lot of teams without quarterbacks. The Raiders. So a guy that is a proficient quarterback like Derek Carr is going to be able to get a lot of money. He's not getting $25 million. Got through for almost 5,000 yards in 2021. If you get him for $25 million, yeah, that's the play, but I don't think you could get him for that. Let's go to Jimmy, also in Connecticut. Jimmy?
Hey, guys. I am a Giants fan, but I want to pivot over to Rodgers for a second. So,
okay.
Listen, what do we know about Aaron Rodgers? He loves being the center of attention.
Sure does.
So I really think that if he wanted to truly go into the darkness retreat to find himself or to make his decision,
darkness,
and he didn't care about the attention, I think he would have not mentioned it to the media, but he loves being the center of attention. I think him coming out 2 days earlier is just another sign that confirms the validity of my theory, because I think it's another news story. I think if this was so important to him just for himself, I don't think he would have made a big deal about it at all. I want to know your thoughts.
I agree with you. And I said this, I mean, we jokingly call him a nozzle. You know, he's obviously a bright guy. He went to a really good college, and he is very erudite and thinks things through. And I don't begrudge anybody that wants to go into the dark and quote-unquote find themselves, but why make it public? Why opine about it on Pat McAfee? Because you want the attention.
And
you
doesn't
want everybody
it show
to know how bright you are.
If he's if he does nothing, he just goes back. I mean, the level of nozzle he is. Like, it's almost a higher level than we realized. Like, you kind of get it from the standpoint of he was going to make a move, and he was doing this to kind of set up the conversation. But he just goes back? It was all just a ruse to, like, get everyone excited? Like, that's just weird.
Unless it was just really not about him leaving, which he never declared a team other than possibly going back to the Packers. It's just about whether he was going to retire or not. So, Peter, can he get away with not being a nozzle by just saying, I took all this time to decide whether I want to play or not? I never said I wanted to leave the Packers. They were the ones talking about trading me.
Yeah, but the way he walked off the field the last game when they lost to the Lions, his arm around Randall Cobb, he certainly was playing it up that was it. And he even said after the game, you never know if this he had 2 more years left in his contract. It shouldn't even have been a discussion whether it was it or not.
Well, no, not if he's really thinking about retiring.
Right, and I think he will be a special, special mind that I can't wrap my mind around if he gives up a guaranteed $59.75 million and retires. If he does, well, you know what? He's a deeper thinker than most of us.
But you don't think that there's a – and listen, I think he's a nozzle, so that's not for debate. I'm just saying that if he's contemplating retirement and he's walking off the field, it's possible that he could decide to retire, and that could be it.
Okay, yeah.
So he's smelling the roses on the possibility, maybe a remote possibility, that this could be it.
But so if retirement was that much of a possibility, why sign a 3-year, $150 million deal before the season began last year? Why not just play it year to year? You handcuffed your team that they couldn't even keep in Devontae Adams. They couldn't keep him. That's why they traded him, not because they don't know talent. They could not sign him. Just the way the Chiefs could not sign their wide receiver and had to let him go because Patrick Mahomes makes a lot of money. So you sign that deal, and all of a sudden you're going to reconsider in a year. I think he thinks a lot.
Yeah,
that doesn't make him a bad guy, but boy, he's
probably
He's
It was a tough year.
I get it.
And I can't say that a football player could just say, "Listen, I don't know if I want to do this anymore." He was already kind of thinking about it with the whole Jeopardy thing, right? Like he's kind of been planning over the last couple of years that it could be it. And he wanted to make sure that if it wasn't it, he was going to be paid very well. But there's still a possibility he'll retire. I don't necessarily believe it, but would you be floored if he retired?
I'd be floored.
Okay.
I'd be
Peter?
Leaving $60 million on
floored.
The table. Floored.
I'm with Michael. I'd be floored. Laying on the floor.
How You'd many people give up that kind of money, no matter how rich you are? Warren Buffett would bend over on the and pick up $60 million dollars on the sidewalk.
He's not stop picking it up. He's going to have to go play a year. He's going to have to work out and train and go out there and play, and maybe he just doesn't want to do it anymore.
I've gotten no indication, though, that he doesn't have the appetite for it. Like, I don't know. It all seemed just like games to me. It never seemed like he was truly like, I don't know, guys. This is the grind. I haven't sensed that. I'm with Michael. I think 100% he is not ready to go into that good night. Maybe if he'd gotten the Jeopardy thing. Maybe, although maybe even that was all kind of a ruse for us. Who knows?
I think it was all a game. They weren't hiring Aaron Rodgers to host Jeopardy.
Yeah, a guy who'd never been on TV was going to walk in and become the host of a show that had the same host for the last 40 years.
And just because he's one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived doesn't mean that he could host Jeopardy.
Bialik does a good job, by the way.
And so does Jennings.
They both do it still?
Yeah, they kind of alternate, right?
Michael? Well, no, I think Bialik does the celebrity ones, the specials, and I think Jennings does the daily ones.
Well, that's interesting. So they didn't go with Rodgers. They went with former Packers wideout Greg Jennings. That's it. I did not.
Thing for
yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They knew they wanted to hire a Packer.
Right. It just was a matter of who, sure.
Let's go to Josh and Little Silver. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You?
I just want to talk about Daniel Jones, Saquon. I think the Giants should definitely franchise him. If someone wants to give us 2 picks for him, thank you. Even if they sign him, they're going to be spending all that extra money anyway, so they won't be able to sign people and, I don't know, work out something with Saquon now. Let Jones prove that he can earn it over another year.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Josh. I think they'd like to do it the other way around. I don't think it's going to be easy to sign Barkley. He turned down $12.5 million, and that seems like they're steady on $12.5 million. No. So what does he want, 16, which is what McCaffrey got? And once you franchise Daniel Jones, I don't think there's any team that's going to sign him to the big contract and give up 2 first-round draft picks. So you've wasted $32.5 million of available cap space. You can't make your team better. Just can't.
I would franchise. My plan wouldn't be to franchise him. My plan would be for him to take the 5 years, $190 million. But if he's not coming off that, you know, $42 million, $41 million, then the last resort would be to franchise him. But I don't think that's what the Giants want to do. And as far as Saquon, Michael, is he going to get $12 million someplace else?
He might. He might. I think the greatest danger for the Giants is not bringing – not a danger that they can't overcome, but the most likely outcome, they could lose Barkley. I mean, if he's dug in on getting close to what McCaffrey got, I don't think they're going to do it.
Well, but I think that's good business. All right, I'm willing to give you 12, not a penny more. And if you think you can get 13 someplace, but if the offer was 12 and the offer to Jones is 38, Michael, they want them both back, and I think both offers are fair. You think you can get more someplace else, go at it. Jones doesn't have that choice. Barkley does.
You know, good column today by Ryan Dunleavy in the Post where he said, you know, people just say you never sign a running back to a second contract, but he had some compelling arguments that the Giants would really miss Saquon Barkley if they let him go. And he said there are instances of signing running backs to a second contract where they actually play quite well. So it would be a big hole for the Giants, and he is a great player. But how much is he worth? That's why it's not like baseball where you can add whatever you want. Football, you have to decide, what can I keep, what can I not?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. Dead.
Don, did you tweet a rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92.
Or alive.
Well, it's his birthday, I think.
No, didn't. Oh, turns 92.
Sometimes Don just doesn't know.
Dear God.
Oh, yeah. Dead or Alive. New segment is brought to you by Jack Pocket. Peter, take it over.
Guys, very excited about bringing this to the program. It's been in the works for a long time. We had so many people working on it, so many staff just collaborating every day to come up with something, and here we have a vehicle. Don, are you excited?
Very.
Now, I'm
turning the computer off. I'm not going to.
Well, because you're honest. You're not like Dave Rothenberg, who does a whole segment that's based on him lying.
We don't know that. I mean, I assume it, but we don't know it. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Without any further ado, let's get into Dead or Alive. How about we start with the wife? She's an author, first of all. And she...
Ravens.
She... an author and the wife of former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis. I'm talking about Kitty Dukakis.
Oh, Kitty Dukakis. I believe Kitty Dukakis is still with us.
Kitty Dukakis is 86 years old.
Wow. Good job, Kitty.
The women always live longer, it seems.
How about this beloved Sisters of Charity icon in Chicago? She is the chaplain for Loyola, of course. That's what she's known for. And, I mean, almost like a mascot for that famed Loyola team of a few years ago. I'm talking, of course, about Sister Jean.
Yes, I believe it was fairly recently Sister Jean is no longer with us.
Oh, wrong. It's unfortunate that you killed her because she is 103 years old.
Dear God. I thought I saw something.
And you know what you saw, Don? Yesterday, the Fordham Rams beat Loyola of Chicago, and the sister was there on the court.
That's the reason Michael got so excited that he stepped all over my call,
right?
Like Dave Malone.
That's right.
My God. All right. So, Don, you're one for two. Okay.
Now, when are we doing?
What did you say? We're doing three.
Okay.
Oh, now this is the game winner, Don.
Yeah, this is the rubber match. This is the rubber match for the day. This is an absolute legend. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, though born in Italy and of Italian descent. He held the then WWWF World Heavyweight Championship for more than 11 years. Mm. Incredibly beloved and highly regarded, particularly in this town, a god of New York, and one
Bruno
of the
Sammartino.
True stars of professional wrestling, Bruno
yeah.
Leopoldo Francesco Sammartino.
My instinct tells me. I remember those cauliflower ears, too. Remember? Ugh.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to say that I'm really on the fence about this because I don't know. But wrestlers don't live long.
They do not. Unfortunately.
But I'm going to say he bucked the trend. He's still with us.
Bruno Sammartino is deceased.
Oh. Dear God.
Okay. April 18th, 2018, after finally making amends with WWE, they made up. He got into the WWE Hall of Fame and passed away shortly thereafter. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was dead or alive.
That's good. That's fun. I don't feel bad about getting the two that I got wrong.
You do it again.
I mean, if I guess the sister, I because if she was just made at a public appearance yesterday, I should have known that.
Yeah, well, a bad look.
But 103, it's a fair bet that yeah. And Bruno, I really didn't know. But 2018, it's fairly recently. It's 5 years ago.
No. Listen,
I don't feel bad. I don't think any of the three. Let's be honest. Any of the three were obvious. Maybe the sister was.
You're saying it's not that long ago with Bruno. I mean, the body is not intact. So it's
hold on. But in Don's defense, Bruno lived to 82, which for an old school wrestler is pretty damn old. So it wasn't that long ago. I hear what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, part of the battle is knowing who these people are. Like I gave you Bruno Sammartino before you even said it.
Damn right you did.
And I'm how shocked you started with Kitty Dukakis.
Yeah, that was
a risk.
Off now, the beaten path, for sure.
But hold on. How did you know Kitty Dukakis so immediately? You were confident in that one.
He always goes alive, except for Sister Jean when it's women.
Oh, it's unfortunate. Well, Kitty's a woman.
It's really just stumbling upon, you know, the information. I'm not. I don't follow either of the three's careers, like, to know.
Any of the threes.
So, well, now you're going to start?
It's these people are just they're conspiring against you, Don.
Oh boy!
But I'm not familiar with like their day to days.
Sure. You don't follow Kitty's day.
It's just a matter of stumbling upon the information. So I thought that was good. I enjoyed it.
Glad.
We should do this every day.
Can I read the close, please?
Please.
Five attempts have been interrupted. That's Dead or Alive. Brought to you by Jack Pocket. Powerball is $119 million. Mega Millions is $126 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jack Pocket. Download the Jack Pocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. And Don's service is still needed at 4:45 with a widely anticipated Daily Don.
I'm excited for it.
I like this. I put in the work for this. Michael's going to hate it. Oh, I think really? Peter is going to enjoy it because I think it's not completely up his alley, but I think he'll have fun with it. Michael's going to be out. He's going to tap out immediately.
So it's like music related or something.
I'm not saying.
So let me get this straight because I'm not the brightest light in the chandelier. I've proven that over and over again. So you put together a list that you know I won't like. That'll make for good radio.
What's your problem?
Wait a minute.
Follow me here. Follow me. It's hard enough to come up with a list.
Yeah.
A compelling list that you could think be a lot of fun and then have both of you equally engaged when you're two completely different human beings. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter tries, so I don't have to work as hard to get Peter to like it. I'm sorry. You're just not.
But do you think it's you good have a for lot the of show depth. If I'm out?
Well, it's on you.
But it's on you because you have the ability to make a list that you know that I wouldn't be out on. Instead, you're choosing to make a list that you know I'm out on. That doesn't make a lot of radio sense.
It does because but you getting angry is pretty fun.
But who's it on, Peter? Me to adjust or Michael to just get with it?
It depends. It all depends.
If I'm coming to your house, right, for dinner, you invite me to dinner, and you and Nancy make fish, it's on you. It's not on me that I don't like fish. It's on you. Making something you know I don't like.
Oh, but you're just one of the people. We've got all these listeners. We've got people that work. So you're the one person that I got to sell on.
Let's see.
But the overwhelming majority of the time, you tap out.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.